This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Tuesday Takeover with Sam Bird on FUBAR Radio.
What's going on, guys? It is Sam Bird here taking over your Tuesday on FUBAR Radio. If you don't follow me already, it's Sam Bird on Instagram and Twitter, and you might not know who I am, so I'm going to tell you. I used to be on a show called Love Island in 2018. I'm now a DJ, and I spin house and dance records all over the UK and all over Europe. And I have got a very, very special co-host with me today. He's a hype man. Hey, he's a glamorous assistant. Hey. And his name is Sammy Switch. Introduce yourself, Sammy Switch.
Hello, my name is Sammy Switch. Thank you very much for having me, Sam Bird and FUBAR Radio. I'm here. Go on, boy.
Go on, boy. So anyways, Sammy, how are you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm good. Excited, actually. This is nice.
Okay, so obviously, it's obvious that me and you are good friends. I think you can tell. By the way, we're looking at each other's eyes. Yeah. Okay, so tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we can talk about how we met, I guess.
Okay, I'm a musician. I'm a published artist with BMG.
Ooh, nice.
I write songs for myself and others. I'm an artist. I'm going to be releasing some music soon. And basically, I'm the European Drake. To put it simply, I'm really fucking humble. So just so you know. Did you ask me how we met?
Well, that's what I'd like to come to, because we're from completely different worlds. I was a young boy from Norwich, wanted to seek his dreams, and for some reason that came in the form of going on to Love Island, which we'll get into a little bit later. You can ask me a few questions about that. I then went into going into music and DJing, and I went to the Brits After Party. I was very, very lucky to be involved in that.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit out of place, I'm not going to lie.
Can I be honest? How honest can I be? You looked a bit nervous, man. You were walking around like you looked, which I didn't expect from seeing you. I only watched a couple of episodes of Love Island when my girlfriend forced me to, like most men say. But I didn't expect you to be so humble, so cool. So when we met, it was a different experience. Since then, we've travelled. Where have you been?
We've been to Ibiza. I've been on an island tour, which you came with me as well.
I've been the hype man of
you've been the hype man of the DJ sets, and we've become great friends. And it was like I went into that Brits After Party. Do you know what? I wasn't even invited. I was a plus one.
And I was really drunk, and I remember I was with the Rudimental guys, and I was like, hey, you're that guy from that show, like, Pat, come on.
And I remember looking around, walking into that, it was the Warner Party, and I could see Pink doing shots at the bar.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa was dancing on the dance floor.
This is true.
We had Jack Whitehall in the corner telling jokes, and I'm just standing around thinking, yeah, I mean, should I be here?
Didn't you get forced out of bed to go?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to go. I didn't know it was a big deal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's just a party. Oh, whatever. I've been to loads of those.
Nah, man, the Brits is everything for musicians. Now, come on, man. Now that you're in the music industry, you know that you wish to be at the Brits.
Oh, my God. Like, I didn't know. I just thought it would be a kind of a chilled party event. I didn't think it was... I didn't know what it was. Do you know what I mean? So I was... And then when I got there, I realised that actually these are very big artists.
That's it.
And I'm someone that is trying to break into the music industry.
That's it.
I'm starting small. I'm DJing in, you know, just like the small nightclubs and stuff like that.
That's it. When I asked you, that's the first thing I asked you. I said, what are you up to? What are you doing here? And you said, I want to be a DJ. And I said, listen, man, this is my manager. Let's make some music. And that's how it started.
Exactly. And I think it's weird when I say to people I DJ, they do take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
I think they think I get a laptop. I'm not gonna lie. And I press play.
First time I came to one of your sets, I remember whispering in your ear saying, you're actually pretty good. I hate when people say the word actually before something.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually really
like,
nice.
I thought you would actually be shit. Yeah. But...
You know what you're doing.
And I think everyone just thinks with myself, it's just come out of nowhere. I've always known how to do it a little bit. It's only just now I've been given a platform to think to myself, I could do this as a career and actually earn money from it.
Listen, I've seen you get some crowds lit, boy.
Lit, so boy. We got Sammy on the hype man ting.
Mad thing there.
Mad thing. And since then, obviously becoming friends, you've been on tour with me and you've, like I said, you've done some hype man things.
Yeah, that's it.
Getting the crowd going, and we've actually made some songs together.
That's it, that's it. Are you going to play one of them?
We're going to play one of them. So basically, the first song I wanted to bring out was a funny idea that we had in a bar, I believe.
Yeah.
And we were just having a few drinks, and we were a producer. And I think I just watched the documentary Fyre Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if anyone's seen that documentary, they all know it was basically a massive festival that they were going to bring acts and influences onto an island, and it was going to be the most exclusive party in the whole of the world, which turned out to be a massive flop. And basically, there was...
Flop of the century, man.
It was the flop of the century, and the guy who run it, he basically scammed lots of people out of their money.
Yeah.
And he was involved in a massive scam and was joined by Ja Rule.
Yeah, man.
The famous Ja Rule. Do you remember some of his tracks?
Of course, man. No, of course. But the worst thing about that documentary is, at the beginning of it, Ja Rule and I forgot his name now, the other guy, they all looked so excited. They believed it.
Man. Oh, they believed
they
it.
They believed it. But that's when it was a buzz. There was probably social media buzz about it. And he said to me, I've got this idea. If you can help me. And the words you said to me were... I think we actually were in a lift in Shoreditch House.
We were in a lift, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, how about an idea like, we're going to shut it down at the Fyre Festival? And I was like, okay, let's run with it, man. And then 2 days later...
funny dance track, and we went to the studio.
We got drunk.
And we started like recording this song. And it was a kind of a funny idea. No one had done a song about this Fyre Festival. I thought it was very ironic. I didn't want to come out with a song which was just like, okay, I'm going to be really, really serious. This is a song about love, blah, blah. I want to do something funny. And what was interesting is that, obviously, I'm involved in, I guess, I hate this word. I hate it. It's called the influencer. I hate that word.
I quit.
It's horrible. No, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
However, I got put into...
A category. Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, they're my friends as well, get paid to post on Instagram.
Yeah.
And what the interesting thing about the Fyre Festival is that they were paying the likes of the Kardashians, Kendall Jenner, to post about this Fyre Festival using an orange tile.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Using an orange tile, and they were getting them to post, and because they were using very influential people, the public were believing that this was a real festival, this was going to happen, this was going to be the best thing ever, their favourite celebrities were going to be there, and it's very interesting how the world can be influenced by...
So quickly
by these people... And it's just a paycheck for them at the end of the day.
That's it. I hear that.
And I think it's something like Instagram need to look at, because it's very interesting that people are posting about all these things. They might not necessarily like them. You know, you've got the... You see teeth whitening posts. You see all these things.
But this is important that people know as well, because something that about you that people don't know or wouldn't know is that you said, I'm going to do this kind of as a way to enter the music industry, but slowly get taken seriously and make more serious music, which you have been doing, which I respected, because you were like, let's be honest, it was a bit gimmicky because it was a buzz at the time, but we still made a banging song out of it.
And before I play it, I will tell you now, when I brought out the song, the official Fyre Festival Instagram and Twitter account...
I can't believe they still have an Instagram
that they
and
still
Twitter
have
account.
Reposted the music video on their page.
I can't believe it.
So at least they took a sense of humour on the song.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy who runs it, who I think's probably in prison still, whoever runs that account played the song, which we're going to do now.
Yeah, from prison.
So this is Fyre by yours truly, Sam Bird. Gonna shut it down like a fire festival.
unstable. Who's these girls on my table? Designer on my label. Get loose, unplug the cable. Out each night, it don't faze me. So turned up, shit get crazy. Out each night, it don't faze me. So turned up, shit get crazy. Out each night, it don't faze me. So turned up, shit get crazy. Die with the tired and I'm not stressed to talk. Gonna shut it down like a fire festival. 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 Gonna shut it down like a fire festival.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that was Fire by yours truly, Sam Bird. What a banging track that is for your Tuesday takeover with myself and my co-host, Sammy Switch.
Yeah.
So I remember making that song, having a laugh in the studio, and that is what making music's all about.
This is it.
Because we were from totally different worlds.
That's true.
You know, from a nice little countryside house background in Norwich, and I made my way to London and moved here and started doing all bits and pieces. And we have Sammy Switch from Reading.
Yeah, boy.
And you've got quite a story about your music career, and you know, you've been through some times. You've got some stories.
Ah, Jesus Christ, why are we gonna talk about them?
Let's talk about those things.
Ah, fuck. I didn't know you were gonna ask me about myself in this manner. What do you want to hear?
Well, we just need to know about yourself, and you know, like, you obviously, from a young age, was rapping.
I started off as a rapper. I mean, actually, I started off, I reckon, writing poetry, man, because my father is an Arabic poet. And then I moved into secondary school, where grime was literally at the beginning of its core, of its growth. And everybody was spitting 8 bars off a phone. I'm actually serious.
I can relate.
Yeah. I'm sure they had the same thing in Norwich. And I just built a name around that. Just being a good grime MC, man. And then eventually started writing songs. Got signed to Black Magic at 15. And since then, have not stopped. Yeah, man.
That sounds good. And you've got lots of new music coming out.
Lots of new music.
We're going to play one of the tracks today, later in the show as well. It's called Icarus.
Exclusive!
Is that Icarus, yeah?
Yeah, Icarus.
Icarus. What's the message?
basically, all my friends say that I fly too close to the sun. That maybe with my lifestyle, with the way that I go out.
Do you know what my when I used to go out as well, like on... like consecutive days, and I was going out and I was drinking and stuff like that. My dad always used to say you're burning the candle at both ends there, Sam.
Yeah, listen.
Always used to say that. I always just feel like
thing. Yeah, and the thing is, I've been burning the candle at both ends for so long too, man. So it's basically a story about how I know, or I tell myself I'm fine when people worry. But let's get back to that, man. I think you've got... you've told me you've got some exciting guests, and I actually want to hear who they are, because you haven't told me one of them.
I do. So, as well as banging music, I have got some special guests. So the first guest is a very, very special friend of mine, and it's none other than Dr. Alex.
Okay.
Now, do you know Dr. Alex? You actually quite... When I talk about him, you find it really funny that I just refer to him as Dr. Alex all the time.
You're never like my friend Alex. Whenever you tell a story, you're like, I'm actually going to wait for you two to tell that story, how you walked into that festival. But
we talk about that.
But you always say, so I'm going to go link up with Dr. Alex. I'm like, bruv, it's just your friend Alex. Like, you don't say, I'm going to go hang out with rapper Sammy Switch.
Yeah. I don't know why, I just can't help it. It's always Doctor to me. That his first name is Doctor.
I was on your phone a second ago, and literally a text came up from Dr. Alex.
Yeah, that's the WhatsApp. I got it saved as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And do you know what's actually really great? If there's ever a health problem or worry, you literally can just text your mate and say, "Why is this happening?"
And that really has happened. So do you know when we went to Ibiza, you were on a stag do, and I was there as well. And I started to get really ill.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
And I started to get really ill, and I was pretty just kind of run down. I had, like, I mean, it sounds a bit disgusting, but I had, like, ulcers, like, on my, like, in my mouth. And I was getting, like, flu, and I was coughing and stuff like that. But I was out in Ibiza, and I was like...
You've got to make the most of it.
I literally do not
just
know.
Just to give some context, I was on a stag do in Ibiza, and Sam was DJing in Ibiza, and we met up and ended up spending 3-4 days together. But yeah, you were really run down, and you can usually go for days. But
I was kind of, like, in the middle of, like, touring and, you know... I was drinking and having a good time, and it was all fun. But
you drink, bro.
I have a few drinks here and there. But yeah, as I mentioned earlier, as my dad would probably say, oh, it's probably burning the candle at both ends. And basically, yeah, I felt really ill, and I was like, I actually feel like I want to see a doctor, but I don't know where to go. I'm in Ibiza. I'm just going to text Dr. Alex.
Is he coming in?
He's coming in.
No, he's
coming in. Doctor's coming in. So,
wicked.
If you're feeling a bit under the weather, I mean, it has been raining today.
I did come here over there.
Tell the listeners how you arrived to the studio today.
Well, I have just had my hair did.
So Sammy has got some... braids going on.
Yeah, I've got some braids going on, and if they get wet, then they get ruined, and I can't afford to keep on getting them done once a week. It's too much. It's just too much money. So I decided to pull out a t-shirt out of my bag, and I was walking around London with a t-shirt, stopping the rain from ruining my hair, so I still look pretty.
And you look very pretty.
Thanks a million.
We've got Dr. Alex coming in. He's a very interesting character. Can't wait to see him. Other guests include a good friend of yours and mine, Cameron Bloomfield.
Yeah, boy.
So Cameron Bloomfield is an artist, and he has got brand new songs coming out. He's got one today that we're going to play also later in the show.
I cannot wait to hear that.
Sammy's going to take the lead on that one because you're kind of best friends.
Yeah, we've been working together a lot recently. We've got an EP coming up soon. And he is kind of my idol.
So I'm going to get to know him, and obviously the listeners are going to get to know him as well.
Yeah.
And then the last guest, we've got Kevin Adams. Now, this is a random Sick. One. Kevin Adams is someone that he's been in the industry in terms of like the celebrity industry for a long while. He was on a show called Fame Academy. He's been a celebrity personal trainer, and he was a very, very good friend to Jade Goody, whose documentary came out a few weeks ago. So we like to keep things as, you know, lighthearted as possible, but he's got an interesting story, and he was friends with someone was a great woman, so we'd like to hear about that. We have got Dr. Alex coming very, very soon. So before we do that, we're going to play another record, okay?
Okay.
I sound a bit like, you know, like Foxy from the radio. We're going to play a record for you guys.
What record are you playing next?
So, as you mentioned earlier, you apparently were at the Brits party Rudimental.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we said, hey.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, you were with him. So, yeah. Basically, my...
It's not him, there's four of them. Check yourself.
Sorry, he was of all four... members of
Rudimental. I was with one of them. Anyway, let's get past that shit.
Anyway, do you know Rudimental? Whatever.
Yeah.
You really know Rudimental. And you're good friends with, actually, we were going to try and get him on the show, but he couldn't come in the end.
Thomas Jules. Let's give
Thomas Jules a shout out.
Yeah, because he was going to come today, but he's not feeling too great. He was toured with them for many years, and he wrote songs with Anne-Marie, and he was going to talk about songwriting and a lot of different stuff. But yeah, he couldn't come for whatever reason. So shout out to Thomas Jules.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I remember actually we went to... It was Brighton. It was a party in Brighton.
Yeah.
What was that? What was the event?
Oh, Great Escape Festival.
Great Escape Festival.
Yeah.
Great Escape Festival. So this is why it's all new to me, because all these like music festivals and stuff like that, I've just started to go to. Like, I've completely detached myself from... go into some of the shit parties like OK Magazine.
Yeah.
So that's, by the way, now I've just said that, that's that deal out of the way.
Yeah.
That's gone.
You can't get married and go in OK Magazine anymore.
Yeah, that's why it's gone.
Oh, no,
the thing is, like those parties are just, I've been to them before, do you know what I mean? And you have, you know, people from all the different reality shows, and they all just seem to be competing against each other.
But
because realistically, they all compete online for, you know, the followers and the likes and stuff like that.
Let me put it this way. I've been to a couple of those also. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be sat here with you if you weren't real. And I've been to a lot of met a lot of these people, and a lot of people, these people are fake. And that's why I think that it's great that you've moved into something where you don't have to be fake in every room you go into.
No, and I think it's one of those ones where everybody shares something in common at those parties, and it's just quite a superficial thing. But when, you know, you go to, when I went to the Brits, you know, kind of after party, I felt like I didn't fit in there because everyone had all these amazing talents.
Yeah.
But in terms of like how I was taken as a person, everybody was much more accepting and friendly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, these people in the music industry, they're just so creative. They don't care who you are and what's got going on. Just if you're a real person, you know, you're all in the same room. Like, you're all creative people. Like, one of the things I was just so surprised about is, like I said, I've been to a OK magazine party, and someone from probably like the Only Wears Essex or something like that was just quite rude to me. He said hello. I was new to this going to these parties.
Got you.
It was just quite rude. Just dismissed it.
Got you.
I went to the Brits party. I don't know if I've mentioned that. I don't know. But I was there.
Just in case everybody hadn't heard, Sam Bird went to the Brits party.
Yeah, as a plus one, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
And I met the Camel Fat boys.
Okay, sick.
Now, Camel Fat are like heroes of mine.
Yeah.
You know, they're two house tech DJs. This year they've taken over Ibiza. They've had their residency at High, one of the biggest clubs in Ibiza.
Yeah.
And they were so nice. We stayed in contact. When I went over, they put me, you know, backstage, and I met the boys, and they were just nice, and they gave me advice about DJing and stuff like that. They didn't need to do that. They're multi-millionaire DJs.
Yeah.
And they were so friendly.
That's so lovely, man. Do you know what it is, I think? It's because a lot of musicians struggle for so long, and they're so passionate that when they do break the ice, they've been in places where people, they've been uncomfortable, or they've been in those situations, so it's much more natural for them to be more open arms. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I feel like I want to hear a song right now.
You want to hear a song? Okay, yeah. So before we hear from the one and only Dr. Alex, we're going to play a Rudimental song because you are friends with them. So this is Rudimental with Feel the Love.
I can feel it all around. I can feel it all around.
Yes, yes, we're back with myself, Sam Bird, on the Tuesday Takeover. And finally, he's arrived.
I have arrived.
Yay. He's arrived now. It's the one and only Dr. Alex. Welcome to the show.
Mate, thanks so much for having me. Can I just say, I'm a bit flustered, you know what I mean? Because London is the worst place for driving. And I was like, I'm going to be on time. And then all of a sudden hit a roadblock. Got here, thought, right, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to sprint up the stairs, no problem. You can't pay anywhere to park. You've got to do it through your mobile phone. They want all your digits. They want your life digits. They want your passport details.
I'll tell you what.
Jesus. I think like I'm here.
And I'm happy you're here, man. And I feel like we've all had a funny story of getting here today. Just before you arrived, I told about a story just how I arrived. I came here with a t-shirt on my head, not to ruin my hair. So people were looking at me like a weirdo.
Right, okay. I can see why they're looking at your hair. You don't want it to start going puffing up.
It's those braids.
It's those braids, baby.
What's going on? Oh yeah, I was going to say, I thought you'd be on time because you are a bit of a car fanatic, and I thought you'd be driving some sort of like Aston Martin type car.
What are you driving?
What are you driving at the moment?
I've got an AMG C63S, so it's quite quick, but you can't use it in London really. It's just impossible. It's pointless. I might as well be in a 1.0 whatever, to be honest. It's all wasted in London, but it's fun anyway.
It's cool. It makes a nice noise.
It upsets the neighbours though. That's the problem. They get really upset with it. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not like that much of a car fanatic myself.
I asked like I knew what car you were.
I was going to say, when you asked about what car you were, and he said the AMG Special 1.8 or whatever it was, you just were like, ah.
Someone cool. listening will be like, I respect that, that's fine. Someone listening.
Someone knows what that is. 100%. But yeah, as soon as you went off topic, you just listened to the word petrol diesel and then that was it.
Yeah. All I know is it takes you from A to B.
A to B, that's what I like to
Not
hear.
Very quickly in London. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Eventually, you did get to B, and you're here.
I got to Bird.
You got to B the Bird.
Yeah. Nice.
And obviously, it's a very, very interesting interviewing someone that, you know, is a very good friend of mine. And let's tell the listeners, because they might not know, I have explained that I was on a show called Love Island, and Dr. Alex was too.
I was, yeah. We were there together, mate.
We were there together.
At the same time.
Exactly the same time. So, yeah, we met on the show. I haven't explained kind of much about like my experience on the show yet, because I kind of wanted to wait for you and just...
It's probably for the best you don't, to be honest. Like me. So, but the least we talk about our experiences on that show, the better it might be.
I came out of a relationship.
You did, actually.
Do you know what I mean?
You did.
I moved in with... We won't. Do you know what? We're not going to mention that.
Yeah, how did that go? That's too deep.
Let's just say...
How's she doing?
It's come to an end. Yeah?
Yeah, fair.
Let's just say that one's come to an end. We can talk about it later, because weirdly enough, I have just filmed another TV show with said person. So we can go into that.
Okay. When you're ready, when you feel ready.
When I feel emotionally available, yeah, I will go into that.
I heard that you're filming something at the moment. Am I?
Well, I've just been doing Celebrity MasterChef, but unfortunately for me, well, I don't know. I think I did quite well. I got to the quarterfinals.
Oh, amazing.
I haven't got any further, but to be honest, I was a novice cook. I did it because I was actually... Do you know, I think in life you just got to throw yourself into challenges. I think me and you, Sam, have talked about this before. You just got to try things and see what happens. And the opportunity came up. And actually, I'm more and more interested in cooking now with like kind of health mind, if you like, and because I'm training and stuff like that. I was like, right, this is a good opportunity to see if I can cook healthy and tasty food. Unfortunately, at the start, it didn't go so well. I cooked undercooked chicken.
Oh.
That's which isn't good. Ideal.
That's not
but
ideal, is it?
In my defence, it was because I'd practiced this. Yeah, you don't. There's no such thing. I'd practiced this dish, right? A coq au vin, and I'd done a pea mint puree with a Dijon mustard mash. Ooh. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But on the day, they gave me a thigh with a bone in it. And I didn't know that if you have a thigh in your chicken, it takes much longer to cook.
So no,
when
I didn't.
I put the plate in front of the judges thinking, I've smashed this. Do you know what I mean? You're quietly confident. I've done well here. And then only to realise when they cut it open that it was raw. My face must have just gone.
Oh my god!
Have you not seen it yet?
Oh no! I watched it back. It was really painful.
Your face as raw as the chicken.
It was painful. Yeah, it was. It literally was. Oh, I went like rosy instantly. I was like, oh, what have I done?
Oh my god! What
the hell? That was oh hell! That was a hell.
I wouldn't have known that either, though, man. That's fair enough.
Oh, I know. That's one of those things. Well, in the light of MasterChef later, we actually have a few questions that are cooking related to see if you've learned from your mistakes. Yeah. Of undercooked Ow. Chicken, and we'll see if you have done a bit more research since then.
If you've moved from novice to amateur,
so we've got some basic better. Cooking questions. So see if you can do slightly better on that one. And obviously, you are a doctor.
I am a doctor. Yeah.
You are a doctor, and we know that because I was speaking to Sammy. So you don't know Sammy. Sammy's a good friend of mine, but every time I mention you. He says, why do you call him Dr. Alex?
I find it hilarious.
He's your friend Alex. But I don't call you that, ever.
Yeah, I do find it odd. It's yeah, only people from the show say that though. Like in A&E, no one would say Dr. Alex. I know that's weird. And that's
even
the patient,
in A&E.
If a patient recognises me and goes, oh, you're Dr. Alex from the show, but if I was talking to like one of my bosses or my colleagues or whatever, they'd be like, Alex, you know. It's odd, really. It's like DJ, it's like you use DJ Sam.
I think we should bring that back. I think we should only call each other by our jobs.
No, we shouldn't.
Only. No, we shouldn't.
I said to him that that's like calling you like rapper Sammy Switch every single time. You can't do that.
Exactly.
But it's funny because every single time that he mentions you, even if it's like a story about you were telling me a story about how you got into a festival one year or something.
Should we speak about that?
Yeah, that was chaos. That was
because we have got a few stories I want to talk about. So,
but the fact is, when he tells his stories, he never goes me and my friend Alex. But the thing is, then you'll talk about another celebrity friend who will be. Like a big celebrity friend.
Oh, as opposed to
I'm very happy. As, you know what I mean.
As big as Dr. Alex. But you'll say, but I'm saying you'll go, oh my mate, whatever, really casually. But every time you pronounce Dr. Alex, you say it really proudly with the doctor before. Mate. Like so Dr. Alex. Is...
So I was just with Dr. Alex.
Yeah.
I don't know if you catch that, but he's a doctor. yeah. But yeah, we've had some like. But really fun times, like since the show, we've both been doing different things. And I kind of just said, actually earlier, I've mentioned it about 20 times, but I went to the Brits after party, right?
No way. Did you
really? I mentioned it about 20 times.
That's crazy.
And it's like fun opportunities like that, that we never take for granted, that are just really great experiences. And as you mentioned earlier, like one of like the funny things I remember was going to SW4 festival,
which is how it happened was hilarious because I was like I was in a pub in Clapham, wasn't I? Number 32.
Of course you were.
Classic.
Always in Clapham.
Always in Clapham. Number 32.
Do you live
in Clapham?
Yeah, I do. But if I lived in Wales, I'd still.
He'd always be in Clapham.
Why?
Basically, when I used to say, "Do you want to go out for a drink?" He'd be like, "Yeah, yeah. Whereabouts in Clapham?" No, he doesn't venture out of Clapham.
I don't leave Clapham.
Doesn't leave Clapham.
I actually check the postcode to make sure the bar's within that.
Have you been to the place with the crazy girl upstairs and the fun?
Oh, the swingers, you mean? That's called swingers, isn't it?
It might be upstairs. There's like a bar, but there's loads of there's like crazy golf. And
is
like,
that in Clapham? There we go. I'll go there because it's there.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that day, I was in this pub, and I said, "Oh, Sam, what are you doing today? It's a nice day. Come along." So actually, I'm going to SW4. You had tickets that you'd actually. So I was sat there, and then he's like, "Yeah, I'll come for a beer beforehand." We had a few beers, and beerios went by,
beerios.
And they were like, "Do you know what? Should we try and go over?" So I came over with you, and first of all, like, "Oh, we'll say goodbye to you, whatever." And then all of a sudden,
it was your mate
Sam went up and said, "Look, thing is, we'd love to come in, you know, but obviously, you know, some of us have tickets, and we may or may not have got in," which I felt very bad about, really.
Yeah,
but we did get
his mate. His mate just like blagged us in. He was like,
pretty much.
I am their PR, and we need to sort this out.
Needs to go in now.
We need to go in right now. It's too much.
He blagged it amazingly.
He was amazing. He pretended like we, you know, we're like really, really like special matter.
Proper.
But we're proper, yeah. And they were like, "All right, yeah, go on in." We went in, and to be fair, when we got towards the crowd, because this is straight after the show. So all, and it's, you know, there's youngsters at this festival, so they're all very excited.
Oh, they went mad. It's very fresh out.
It's very fresh. So in their mind, they've literally just seen us come off TV, so they all get excited. You know, they're youngsters. They want selfies and stuff. And it starts going mad, and people are coming up to us, and we have this massive crowd around.
We're getting pulled.
So the
I've been there with you and Ireland.
Yeah, I've had that before when he's been there on like my Ireland tour.
Yeah,
anyway. He was getting annoyed. Anyway. I was like, they're children, Sammy.
I
just wasn't used to that kind of, what's it, I don't know when it was, the mania. The mania of it.
So basically, yeah, they got went a bit mad. And to be fair to the people, the event organisers and bouncers, whatever, saw it and were like, listen, just come in here for a minute. Because it was a bit, you know, I was a bit like, I'm not used to this. This is scary.
Yeah, it's weird.
So we ended up coming out of that space. And anyway, long story short, we ended up backstage with that example, all the artists and stuff like that. Who to us, so like, I was like, oh my God, that is example.
Yeah.
Next thing
they
you
were recognising us, which is weird.
And next thing you know, Jack Jones and all that stuff were like, yeah, come on stage with us. Example's got us in his golf buggy whizzing us around to his set. It's like, what is going on?
That's mad.
Carnage.
It was weird being like recognised by people that like, okay, to be fair, at that time, very skilled people. I mean, being a doctor is quite a skillful thing to be, but
not in terms of this.
But I think people just didn't really, you know, when you've got artists that are at their place of work, you know, when they're, you know, and they've really been through it and they've made it and stuff like that, and them to recognise you, because they were saying, like, for example, my best friend now, and his wife, he'd been on tour, and they used to watch it while they were on tour. That's how they recognised us.
It's mad, isn't it? He's a great guy, by the way.
Lovely guy. Such a nice guy.
Like, he was really cool.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And obviously, like, you know, I stayed in touch with him. And
you're doing songs with him and whatnot.
We're doing songs and stuff, and he's got a brand new song as well we're going to play later. So, yeah, basically, we're going to ask you some questions now, Dr. Alex.
These are
questions that people have asked for Twitter. Okay, so cool. I did a bit of a tweet earlier, and I'm going to ask you two questions. Okay, so we've got Lindsay on Twitter.
Hi, Lindsay.
Lindsay on Twitter. And she asked, how do patients react when you arrive to treat them in the hospital?
It actually, do you know what, it's funny, it depends. I do find it
if
odd.
If they recognise you specifically.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the moment I work a lot in resus, for that reason. If I work in minors, because people are actually quite well, then I don't want to spend my time doing like selfies and stuff. I actually, when I'm at work, I'm quite serious. Obviously, you see that jokey Dr. Alex messing around, but when I'm at work, I'm actually
trying to help save people's lives.
You wouldn't want me to be joking around. I'm being serious. So when they do, I'm like, usually like, hi, how's it going? But people actually are really respectful. When I'm at work, they realise that I am there to do the job. So rather than be like, let's do selfies, whatever, which I do get sometimes, most of the time it's like, hi, Dr. Alex, that's it. And that's easy, because I was really worried when it came off the show, like, what if I can't just do my job? It'd be a really, really weird situation to be in. But thankfully, it hasn't been a problem.
I got you. And then next question Charlotte has asked, can you make an appearance at her birthday?
At her birthday? Well, it's in Clapham, that's the question. If it's not in Clapham, you're in trouble, Charlotte. Yeah.
If it's in Clapham, he might be able to make it.
Saturday, I'll probably
anything
be there.
Outside the area, no.
No.
Make your birthday in Clapham. And
specifically number 32.
Exactly. So, speaking of you being a doctor, I did say to Sammy earlier, I was in Ibiza and I got a little bit run down, and I just said to him, what an amazing thing to do, I could just text my doctor friend.
Yeah, we were in Ibiza
and
together.
Ask him, exactly, and ask him a question, and you helped me out.
You sounded proper ill, to be fair. I remember, I was like, mate, you need to take it easy. Do you remember, I gave you a proper like doctor telling.
He was
burning
the candle at both ends.
He was. Yeah, exactly.
It was about a 17-day tour you were on, and I was on the stag doing in Ibiza, and he had a gig, so he was like, let's meet at the same time. And we met at the same time, we stayed in the same hotel for a couple of days, and I've never seen, always Sam's got so much energy from all the tours we've done, and as you know, just to see you, we went to Ocean Beach and that cost a lot of money. He literally just laid there like this in the fetal position.
Not enough sleep, too much drinking.
Exactly, and he said, I can just text a friend instead of calling a thing.
Exactly, but before that, I was hosting the parties, and I've got a funny story actually.
Go on.
Because I kind of wanted to talk to you actually about something really important, and that's like sexual health. Obviously, not only, you know, with like young adults, but with everybody. And basically, I was hosting a party, I was DJing, and one of the DJs wanted to play a game. It was called Go Fetch. Okay, so Go Fetch. So basically, I had to call out items for contestants to go fetch them and give them back to me. And the last person to give me back the item would be knocked out. and people would be knocked out until they revealed a winner who'd win some champagne or something like that.
Yeah, cool.
So it'd be like, go grab a handful of sand from the beach, and they'd all have to run to the beach, grab out of that, and then pass me the sand, right?
Cool.
And it got to the point where I was like, oh, I couldn't think of anything. So I said, grab me a condom. Okay. And
not one person in that whole bloody place had one, did they?
So
not a single one.
So there
come
was
on, surprise, I want to hear these.
I was actually pleasantly surprised.
Good.
That I got, I think everyone did eventually, out of the four contestants left, I got three condoms.
That's really good.
And I saw people really at this good. Pool party taking condoms out of their pocket, out of their bum bags. So I don't know if it's bad that I was pleasantly surprised. Do you seem that you potentially would
no,
be?
No, I mean, I only joke really, but I think we're getting much better with it. People are much more conscious, but I mean, it's a concern for like me as myself and a doctor.
As a doctor,
that yeah. A lot of people still don't realise the potential implications of not using protection. And a lot of the time think, and the most common reason I hear is, well, if I have any symptoms or I caught anything, I'd know, right? And I go and get treated. What people don't realise is that at least half the time with chlamydia, you don't even know that you've got it, and you can still be causing damage to yourself and other people. So that's what kind of worries us. And it's good to hear that. It's nice to hear that people actually are carrying condoms. Brilliant.
I think maybe 10 years ago when I was going to Zante and all these places, that if you asked that question, a lot of people wouldn't have had that. And that's why there's so many young mothers.
So just really quickly as well, it's like talk about like the other like contraceptions that people can go through and like how accessible they are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, and a good thing, that an advancement we're making is, you know, staying on the theme of condoms for a second, is that they are much more accessible.
Okay.
For example, there's this clinic called Conifer, which is working in the kind of northeast of the country to work and try and encourage people to have STI checks and have condoms. And they actually will send STI kits to your home. You can go into clinic and in these situations, you can have access to condoms. So that's really good. And there's loads of ways you can register online now, as well as popping into your sexual health clinics, contraceptive clinics, even some GP practices as well. In terms of other contraception, there's no other better way to protect against STIs than use barrier methods. So that barrier method is essentially condoms. If you're looking to prevent pregnancy, of course, there's a range of options for women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interestingly, of course, there are more and more tests being done about men and trying to use a male contraceptive pill, but they haven't quite nailed it on the head yet.
Because, that's interesting.
Yeah,
a male contraceptive?
Yeah, so but then you'd have to prevent the production of sperm in some way, and that's quite a complex process. And actually, if you block the testicles, you can block the function of other things like testosterone and other important things that we actually need. So
is that on trial at the moment? Or
well, they have trialled quite a few different ones, and they haven't really found a perfect solution. And
I see.
I know there's a lot of women out there saying, well, hang on, you know, if we have to take a hormonal pill, it's unfair. And actually, I think they've got a really good point, but we just need to find a way of doing it that is safe. That's the important thing.
That is really interesting. That adult pill, I didn't think.
The man pill.
Yeah. And would people be too prideful? While I've got you here, man, I really wanted to ask you a couple of quick questions about mental health,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of young men, and I want to keep this light, but a lot of young men, as you probably know, I think the biggest killer under 50 for men is suicide. And I've had a lot of friends that have dealt with mental health. I know myself I've had anxiety, depression, gone through a lot of stuff. I just wanted to hear from a doctor and maybe share to the listeners what the best options are, what you would say, is there availability for help,
where to get the help,
what is the best help.
Sure.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because I know myself that, and for me or friends that have been in really dark places, because sometimes you feel quite, it's hard, even
to
me now, it's hard as a man
to talk and speak about certain things. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I work a lot with the Samaritans, and I'm in a kind of ambassadorial role with them, because I think what the work they do is incredible. And what they did recently is did some research into men and men being open about asking for help. And they found that 2 in 5 men, even if they were absolutely desperate and really in a dark place, they would never ask for help. And that's actually a really recent study. So it shows we've still got work to be done, because people feel like they can't. But there's loads of help out there. I mean, the Samaritans you can speak to confidentially over a phone. Of course, not forgetting like your GP. There's loads of different kind of areas of support, but it's breaking down the barriers that prevent people from wanting to ask for help or feeling comfortable to. Because the worst scenario I've had in A&E, or the worst scenarios, have always been when people have taken extreme measures or done something or self-harmed, and I've asked them, you know, is this the first time you've said to anyone I'm struggling? And they go, yes. Because that's a disaster in society, really. You want people to be comfortable. So, I mean, I talk about this a lot on my podcast, The Waiting Room, and actually when Jack Fincham was on, I spoke to a psychiatrist about this as well. And, you know, the biggest thing, the biggest barrier is breaking the stigma. Once you make it normal for people to talk about mental health, it'll all flow. You know, if you had a cold like you did, you called me and said, I've got a cold or whatever, I've got ill, I'm ill, I'm in Ibiza.
It should be the same thing.
It should be the same mental health. Like, it's the same thing.
But it's hard to call your friend and say, hey man, I'm depressed.
It shouldn't be, though.
Yeah, but and
it's mad because it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be.
I agree, but it is.
Yeah,
it is.
A lot of it's just stigmatized words over the time, like, you know, so people say like something like psycho, or they say like, I don't know, you know, all those kind of words that like put like a negative connotation.
Yeah.
That's oppressive, and there is a kind of especially in older people, an idea that if you've got a mental health problem, that you're weak, and that's absolute nonsense. Yeah, some of the successful people I've met in life, and the stories I've heard of battle with mental health. Some of the biggest creatives in the music industry, the creatives within art, you know, scientists, you know, juggle with it. So there's no kind of link with your ability to be successful.
Yeah,
excellent stuff. So that's really, really interesting. And Dr. Alex, he does a lot of videos and help with mental health on his Instagram and his Twitter. So give Alex a follow. It's at Dr. Alex George.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are struggling, Google online to the Samaritans, have a look where your nearest help person or contact clinic is, or even call their helpline, because they're there 24 hours a day. So don't feel shy.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Alex.
Excellent stuff. So we're going to play a song now, and we're going to say goodbye to the lovely Dr. Alex George.
And just before I do go, a shameless plug. If you do like your cars, check out my YouTube channel at Dr. Alex George or Dr. Alex George on YouTube, because I've got a few nice machines on there.
Okay.
You need to come on the channel as well, because you're going to come on. We're going to play your music. We're going to dance around and have a boogie.
I saw the video of you and Jack Fincham in, like, was it an Aston Martin?
A Lister F-Type. 700 horsepower nearly.
Oh, that was like, I really, 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 I feel
don't
like
don't worry, I'll take you out in a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a Lambo. We'll get a Lambo for you.
So make sure you also follow Dr. Alex George's YouTube channel, because it is really, really good. There's so much that he puts on, like, content-wise, and it's all free to take a look at, whether it's a really cool video about cars or, like I said, help on mental health and sexual health and all that sort of stuff.
Wicked.
Excellent stuff.
Thank you
very much. Cheers, guys.
Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Lots of love.
Meeting Mr. Right, the man of my dreams, the one that shows me true love, or at least it seems, with brown cocoa skin and curly black hair. It's just the way he looks at me, that gentle loving stare.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
This is our special guest co-host, Terry Walker.
Hey! We got gorgeous in the building. Hey. Oh, gorgeous in the building. Hey.
That perfect sounding person that you hear on the fourth mic is Bree Runway.
Very much.
You're of Ghanaian descent.
Yes, I am. So what makes jollof is better? Is this an argument that's going to start?
Do you know what? You guys' rice is not good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Tuesday Takeover with myself, Sam Bird, and we have our second guest in the studio.
Yes, yes.
It's Cameron Bluefield.
What's good, baby boy?
You alright? What's good, man? Yes, I'm very well. And we've just been, basically, Sammy's just gone off. I don't know where he's gone.
Yeah,
maybe to do his hair.
It's Possibly.
Something like that.
Bringing up a lot of issues.
Apparently, it's raining earlier.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't want to get his hair all frizzy because he's obviously got these lovely braids. And he told me he took a t-shirt out of his bag.
Nice.
And he put it on his head.
It's not the first time this has happened. we've been on nights out before. We've woken up in the morning. He hasn't had his do-rag and he's had to put... I can't work out whether they were clean or dirty, but pairs of underwear on his
underwear.
Head. So it's... If anything, a t-shirt is a step up.
A step up. It's just been an upgrade.
So we're doing
it's
all
been
right. Upgrade. Vaguely excellent. Professional.
So we'll be joined again by Sammy very, very soon. But the listeners don't know who Cameron is.
No.
So let's hear a little bit about Cameron Bloomfield. Who are you? What do you do? Where'd you come from?
I come from Essex, and I spend a lot of my time in London and all around. And I make... Oh, I'm just getting a massage from Sammy. After
he's back now.
Hello. Came and abandoned us. That's a good way to make up for it.
That's a wee wee.
Sorry. We've got to let it out. Sammy Switch has got to drain himself.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I make music. I've just been... living life, gallivanting around the continent for the last like 6 years, soaking up stories and then spitting them out in some music. And so I've finished a whole new project now, and I've started putting that out into the world.
What's that project called?
That project is called The Morning After, and I just announced it a couple of days ago actually that it's coming out. When is it? 20th of November, 40th, or something around that, mid-November. So I'm working up to that at the moment and releasing a lot of new music up till then. So that is. That's what's going on in my life.
Amazing. Yeah,
really quickly, man. I want to hear all about your music, and I want to hear all about what inspires you, and I want to hear the music that you've heard. Ooh, I know I've already heard it, but I want the world to hear it. But I've just been asked to discuss a couple of things about you that are a bit more interesting. I just wanted to say about your hair. So why do you have this long mane?
I mean, that will happen if you don't cut it for a year.
Basically,
kind of just keeps on coming out.
Why haven't you cut your hair?
Yeah, why haven't you cut your hair? Because this is one of the things that I respect.
I had a haircut yesterday, Cameron.
You are looking fresh right
thanks,
now,
mate.
Sam, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Thanks a million.
In completely different ways.
Apparently, there's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Well, I decided there's
an Instagram story behind it.
There is an Instagram story behind it. I was getting bored of having I had the same thing going on for a while, and I got very bored of it, and I decided I wanted to try and see if there was truth to this whole thing of if you grow your hair, you're going to find new strength. This one had been piping on about it for time. Yeah. He's been growing his hair for so long, and he's like, Cam, I get stronger every day. It's coming out of my hair, I swear to God. Yeah. As you would have heard in the last 58 minutes of this show, there's a lot of hair strength going on.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give it a shot. And then a couple weeks into it, I thought, all right, well, this isn't going to be a short-term thing. Either I can continue it for as long as, or I'm going to fix it up soon because it's going to look shocking if I just go in the middle bit. So I put an Instagram story up. Stupidly... said to the people that follow me on Instagram, should I do this? Obviously, unanimously,
on one of those
they
polls.
Were like, yeah, on
oh,
a poll.
Oh, a poll.
Yeah. Should I not cut my hair for a whole year?
Yeah, and so
oh,
obviously.
Like yes or no,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. So as
I would definitely press yes.
Yeah,
I would want to see that.
Of course.
You want to see it, you just want to mess up a guy for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's only natural. I was an idiot to think that I was going to come out
and
of that looking fresh.
I can say about Cam is that he sticks to his word. So
stuck to it.
He stuck
amazing.
To it. And it's grown. And there was a period I was like, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know. It was looking trash.
Yeah, you get that in between stage where people grow their hair. That's just like, it's that weird stage.
It was bad.
That's when you have
it was bad.
I've been there.
If you look at my Insta, well, if you look at anything from 4 to 7 months ago, there were a lot of hats coming into play.
Yeah.
One, two, beanie.
Yeah. I had the same period.
Different
same
day, period. Different hat, baby.
One, two, beanie situation. So, yeah, that came through, and now I feel like I'm embodying a whole new man.
Yeah,
I
that's
feel
good.
There is truth to this strength in length thing.
Strength in length.
Strength in
You've
length.
You've just started training for a marathon.
I have. I've got a marathon in 4 weeks, three, 4 weeks, or like a whole one.
If a year ago when we were partying hard, I said to you, next year you're going to be...
What do you mean a year ago? I'm talking like six weeks.
Okay.
I've been training, and I've been trying to
and
do stuff.
And I've been
stuff,
partying.
balance.
That's very, very true.
I'm just saying, a year ago or 2 years ago, I said, your hair would be this long and you'd be running a marathon. You would say, ah, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Keep your mouth shut.
But
no, it feels good, man. It feels like... It's like I was saying the other day, like, the whole thing with... doing music as a career, as well as doing it as something that you love and that you're passionate about, is you're not always in control of it, and you're not always in control of how it makes you feel as well, because there are so many moving parts, so many people involved in it that aren't you. So I like to push myself in something that I'm in complete control of. Stupidly as well, I'm making a lot of stupid decisions this year. Stupidly, I've decided that that was going to be a marathon this year.
Stupid decisions, but you're bringing out some great music.
That's true.
Thanks, kids.
Great music. And there is a song that I absolutely love, and we are going to play it later.
Yeah.
But as someone, myself, I'm only just kind of getting into the music industry, let's say. I've DJed for kind of a long time, but for fun, I've decided to now, you know, make it as part of my career.
Yeah,
You've actually been to one of my DJ sets, haven't you?
I have. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Which one was that?
That was...
Do you know, it's somewhere like random. Oh, you tell you what, I'll go to...
Bedford.
After Brighton.
Yeah.
Oh, we had
That was a random one as well.
Yeah, that was a random one, that one.
That was after the Great Escape Festival, and at about 10 o'clock we decided, fuck it, let's go to Sam Bird's
gig. It's like, shall we go home? Shall we spend another night in Brighton? No, let's trek up to Bedford and go and rave with Sam.
Because I was literally like, I was... My like manager or something, he'd like cancel, and I was like, oh, I hate going on my own. Like, so I think I said to you, you're like, I've had no sleep, and I convinced someone in the group, and then you all decided to come for the journey.
Yeah. I think the person you convinced was
Jordan.
Yeah.
You
knew who to attack in that group to make that moment happen. Yeah. I see you.
Yeah, Jordan is one of our friends. If you didn't know,
yeah. But,
shout out Jordan.
Shout out Jordan. Go on, Jordan.
Cool, man.
So as someone who's been like coming into the music industry and I'm getting into it, like what kind of advice? Because you've done it from a young age.
Yeah, I've done music for my whole life, but I've also like music has been my only thing that I concentrate as a like career job, whatever you want to call it, from pretty much as soon as I left school. It was just before I left school that I went into a studio the first time, and then that was the first time I'd ever been in a recording session. And that was with Getz, and I wrote a chorus and sang it, and that ended up...
Wait a second. The first time you went into the studio properly was with Getz.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
Did casual.
You were destined for greatness.
Yeah. Just throw that
whole time too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever been in a session.
I spent many a time in hood bedroom studios from the age of 13.
Yeah.
The first time you went in with my fucking idol.
Yeah, nuts.
That's crazy, bro.
It was so crazy. And that
I actually didn't know that.
First session...
I knew you.
Well, you're still finding things out for a while, mate.
Ah, sure, there's many covering layers of this onion.
Hella layers.
Many layers this onion.
Yeah, a lot. Some of them in the shape of Getz. So I ended up spending like a good couple of years with him, actually, and the whole band and the team there, after that tune ended up on his album, the Rebel With A Cause album, and then we went touring that for like a year and got really tight with him and all of his crew as well, which is where I met Phil, like one of my best friends now. He was my old manager, but we just became such good friends over that time. He was looking after Getz at that point. That's how I met Phil first time I met Effie, who was one of both of our best friends.
Kind of what I've seen. So when I've met someone, you meet someone else, and that's like the journey. So you kind of have to get quite good at networking and get yourself out and about there.
Yeah, but I think like the one thing that I found is that whenever I've tried to do networking, it's always ended up in something that's been like useful for a little bit, but it's never really led to any of those connections that I really hold dear. All of these friendships.
So if
now,
you don't get put into a studio for the first time with Getz, that doesn't happen. What advice would you give to some of the musicians, listeners that are trying to break into the music industry?
I would say always like don't be scared of making risks, and always do like the wildest thing that you think that you can do in that moment. Don't play it safe. Because like your taste is king, really. Like looking for other people's validation of an idea is only like good for so long. Like you really do have to learn to just trust what's going on in yourself. And so if that is something that is a bit mad, like try it. If it doesn't work out, cool. But if it only doesn't work out if you don't think it's worked out, not because someone else has said it hasn't worked out. Because there have been plenty of ideas that we've started in a session, and like a writer or a producer hasn't quite got it yet, but we'll develop it, and then later on it will come back. And I was like, I told you that was the idea.
Yeah.
I knew that was the one. But and same, similarly, the other way, there have been writers and producers and whatever in sessions that have come up with an idea, and I haven't got it to start with. And maybe it's a mental block for me. Maybe it's because I haven't explained it in a way that I've connected with or whatever. But it's come back round later on in the session, and it clicks, and it's wild, and it's the best thing. So it's. Yeah, just take the risk.
And one of the songs that has clicked is a new song called Another Man's Woman. Which is your brand new song, which
it's
I
one of my
love.
Favorites.
Another Man's Woman. What's the message?
Well, much like much like Snakes on a Plane, it's a pretty self-explanatory title. I write songs about my life, Mr. Sandbird, and there was a period of my life where I was single for quite a while, and for whatever reason, women who were otherwise engaged seemed pretty interested in single me. And this was one particular story of that, and it's more about just how you can mess with yourself and justify things internally when realistically you probably shouldn't.
Amazing. Well, yeah. I think we should give it a little listen. So this is Cameron Bloomfield with his new song, Another Man's Woman.
Sticking to my lips like liquor, it tastes so bittersweet. I could swear you pulled the trigger, so don't you blame me when you start to bleed. I never meant to take him off your mind.
It's never up to me.
But I'm tired of coming from the other side.
I know you don't want to be
another man's woman. Ooh, how you gonna break your heart like that? I don't understand. You're another man's woman. Sharing it around like you ain't attached. Why so underhand? You're another man's woman. Ooh, you should be this other man's woman. Surely you can feel this pressure. When you gonna face reality? Fucking my feet doesn't measure. Why would you be lying next to me? It seems like you've already made your mind.
It was never up to me.
But I'm tired of coming from the other side. Oh, you're another man's woman. Ooh, how you gonna break your heart like that? I don't understand. You're another man's woman. It's around like you ain't attached. Why so underhand? You're another man's woman. Ooh, you should be this other man's woman. Another man's woman. Ooh, how you gonna break your heart like that? I don't understand. You're another man's woman. Ooh, sharing it around like you ain't attached. Why so underhand?
Takeover with Sam Bird on
FUBAR
Radio.
Hey. Welcome back on your Tuesday with yours truly, Sam Bird. Takeover Tuesday. What a name that is. And we've got my co-host Sammy Switch in the building. And we're joined by our very special guest, Cameron Bloomfield, who you just heard there with Another Man's Woman. What a
beautiful song, man.
What a beautiful song.
I got goosebumps everywhere.
It's just like one of those like vibey, just chill out. Little glass of wine.
There's it. Boy, I could...
You know, watching the Bake Off.
See, that's the thing. You say that, he skanks. Oh, he skanks me.
Yeah. He's got a bit of everything.
Multi-dimensional stinky bass
lines. Yeah. No, it's amazing, man. It's amazing.
Excellent stuff. So, you two are best friends. Mm-hmm. I know you, obviously, anyway, Cameron, and, like, we've had some nights out and stuff, but you got a bond that, you know, I can't get in between, okay? So, I'd love to know how you guys met.
Well, this was... This was a meeting that had been prophesized for quite a while before. We got a lot of mutual friends, uh-huh. and we were supposed to meet each other so many times before we actually met.
Yeah.
There was like all of the four gigs. So we've got some mutual friends from Southampton who are a DJ collective that both of us were doing a lot of shows with cool. around the similar
both of us
time.
Went on tour with around the similar
yeah,
time.
Yeah, all around the country, and it was always the way where we would just not be on the same ones for whatever reason. We wouldn't be on the same ones, and there was like a good year or so where we were supposed to meet each other but didn't, multiple other things as well. And then randomly we bumped into each other in Ealing Studios in Robbie's room.
But before we bumped into each other, so many people had said to me, man, you got to meet this guy Cam Bloomfield. He reminds me of you a lot. You speak about similar things. You have a similar kind of like ideologies. And you had the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And it was almost like one of those things when people tell you that you're really going to get on with someone. It happened to me recently when I went to a wedding. Someone told me I'm really going to get on with their son. And I'm like, it's when you meet that person, because it's almost a bit forced, because you're like, maybe
we need to be friends now. Yeah. And,
but anyway, within 10, 15 minutes, you say it anyway.
Well, no, we were just in the studio with everyone else, just laughing about having a couple drinks. Everyone else goes outside. It's just me and Sammy in there. And then in the 10, 15 minutes that it takes for them to finish up outside and come back in, we've gone on this mad series of tangents and figured out what love is on a chemical level within the body. It was just got a proper deep one. It was from the get-go, that first ever meeting.
The conversation started with, I've been told we're going to be friends, and then it ended with a long embrace.
Memories are a physical thing and they're in your body and you've got loads of memories of the same person and then they all build up inside you. Is that what love is? You might be right, man.
I think you might be onto something.
Yeah. I think you really might be onto something.
The thing is, like, I haven't really like had those sorts of conversations until meeting Sammy.
Oh, hey, dude.
Oh, yeah. And then they'll happen on a daily basis.
Yeah. Can I help it?
Yeah. And it's just the type of person.
Where are you from,
guys? Very open, very loving. That is Sammy Switch.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And if you want to follow Sammy Switch on Instagram, he has got it.
Yeah.
What's your handle, Sammy?
It's SAMI_Switch.
So give Sammy Switch a follow. He's got some great music coming out. And like I said before, we're going to play one of those tracks at some point.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. All just musicians in a room here. Just hanging out. Couple of best friends. And talking of best friends, let's play a little game.
Okay.
Okay, let's play the best friend game.
Ooh, cute.
Also known as Mr. and Mrs. or Mr. and Mister, we'll say.
Mr. and Mister.
So.
Who's the Miss?
I've given you guys a pen and paper.
Don't wink at me like that, sir.
And basically, I think you know how Mr. and Mrs. works.
Right. I'm not too sure.
So basically, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're going to write down on the bit of paper which one of you two think the answer to that question is.
Do I need to hide test paper? Like, maths.
Well, when you write it down, make sure.
Go over there.
Yeah, I'm going to
make
I'm
sure that Sammy doesn't see it.
What do you win, Sam?
I'll be telling the listeners.
Whoever
obviously,
win, if I win,
what happens?
We get the other one gets to buy the other one dinner.
All right, come on.
Okay, do you want to do that then? I mean, that's down to you.
Actually, how do you win? I don't get it. You don't really win. Am I being stupid?
We're both winners.
You're
right?
Both winners. Basically, you need to try and get...
We're both complete fucking losers, but we're also both winners.
We're both winners.
You need to try and get as much matching answers as possible.
Okay,
so we both win.
Yeah. We're going down together. You both going up together.
This is really justifying if you are actually friends.
Oh, fuck.
Basically,
no pressure, Sam.
All right. So, we're going to go question... number one.
Your eyes just got really intense.
Dun, 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 dun. Who's the noisiest?
Stop it. This is going to be too easy, man.
I'll make it hard, don't you? We'll start easy.
Okay, how do we reveal? Do we reveal to the camera or do we reveal to you?
Just reveal to me and I'll tell the listeners what we'll have worked with. 3, 2, 1. Both have put Sammy, so well done. Question one. You've got that one right. Well done.
I feel like I can just keep this here.
Okay.
Who's the messiest?
Foul. All right, ready for the next question?
Okay.
Make sure you hide it. Who is the horniest?
Ooh.
Bear in mind, we've actually got Cameron's girlfriend in the other room watching.
Okay.
Wait.
Say 3, 2, 1.
2, 1.
I got Cam.
Yeah, both Cam.
Yes!
Cameron!
You're doing business with you.
You horny boy!
You horny
looking
boy.
At other men's women.
That's a long time ago. I was a single man.
Single man.
Cam has many sex.
Okay, next one.
It's a healthy addiction.
Healthy addiction, that's good. I like it.
Let's go.
Are you ready?
Your order is
keep
so
it nice
good.
Easy.
Mine is... Who's the
question
messiest?
Three. Who okay. eats more?
This is easy. You'll be surprised.
Three, two, one, go. Cam, I didn't expect that.
Yeah,
I did not expect that.
Put it away, boy.
No offence to you, Sammy. I'm not lying.
Well, thanks, mate.
Really taken.
Cheers, pal.
No offence to you.
I got slow metabolism.
Okay, I got one more.
Okay.
Got one more. I'm going to go controversial now. Hopefully this doesn't ruin your friendship.
Oh, great.
Out of the two of you, who's more likely to get a number one first?
Oh. That was a good question by you.
Three, two, one, show. He's put Sammy, you put Cam. So that's very nice that you both put that. That means you are good friends. Always. That was a trick question. That actually does mean you're best friends. And you support each other's career.
Always.
That is lovely.
You know, that's what it is. And I actually heard that you've got some stuff coming out together.
Yes.
You've got a joint EP coming out.
Yeah, we've been working on a little joint project.
That. I'm sure this is too.
Like you never do. Take a second to.
Sick until me, baby.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well...
what's going on?
It kind of started accidentally. We've just been making loads of music together anyway for the last couple of years. And then there's a couple friends of ours specifically that we've worked with quite a bit. Our friend Robbie, Benji Totten, who's an amazing producer. He also plays guitar for Georgia Smith.
Yeah. Whenever he's back in the country off tour with her, he holds both of us and we have the best time.
Honestly, yeah, those sessions are amazing. Like, they're the ones you come out of, and we've had like the long drives back home where you're just like,
chuck it on repeat.
And then we'll go sit in a pub at like, I'm like pub garden at 1 in the morning and be like, I don't want to go home yet, I still want to blast it, let's put it on repeat. Proper sick guy. And we've got pretty much done.
Ended up with enough songs together to be like, this justifies us to make an EP.
yeah,
I should have sent one of them to play, but I've sent Icarus. Sure,
it's
next
all
time
right. There's always a future.
So I
now
haven't heard Icarus, and you say they both, you've got a song about a Greek god.
Greek myths, like Lazarus.
You've got a song about a Greek.
Myth. Lazarus is out of the Bible, actually. He's not even Greek. Greek.
Just sounds similar.
Sounds similar.
Icarus is Greek.
That ruins it.
Well, no, it's historical. Let's go deep history.
Icarus is about, I think he's a demigod who, in Greek mythology, who flew too close to the sun because he was given wings.
Yeah, his dad was like, don't go too high.
And he flew too close to the sun, and he obviously died, but his wings went off, and he plummeted to the earth and died. And basically, that's...
wholesome.
That sounds very much like Sammy Switch to me.
I fly so high, mate.
And Lazarus is...
Lazarus was the guy that Jesus rose from the dead. So it was all about, the song's all about rebirth. The main line in the song is, we'll be born again soon. And so that was the kind of human embodiment of that sentiment.
It's a beautiful song, man. They just sound similar, and it wasn't even intentional. I might still hit some of his video ideas, but not some song ideas. I'm not talented enough to steal his song ideas. Cam plays about 40 instruments.
Well, he's a very, very, very talented guy, yeah. I must say.
This is true.
So I was thinking as well, in terms of new listeners and stuff like that, and people that want to get into the music industry, because people listen to Fubar Radio, they are so interested in up-and-coming music and all that sort of stuff. And
good.
They're musical people as well, and they want to break in and stuff like that. What I found quite hard when I first started trying to produce my own stuff is going into sessions with people and coming up with ideas, because I was quite new to it. What sort of advice would you give... both of you, really, because you've done sessions together.
Yeah.
What's kind of gives you inspiration? How do you start? How do you get the ball rolling? And Sammy, don't say a double whiskey.
Well, a triple whiskey. Always to start. No, I'm joking. I think just for me, it's to be brave. Mm. It took me a while to be brave. Brave enough to be able to share your idea. If you have an idea, even if it sounds like it's not poppy or not something, believe it. And be brave enough to share it. And more times than you know, if it's not right, the person that's with you in the room will be like, okay, bro, this is cool, but let's try another one. Usually, the first idea is right. So it's sick. So, but I would just say, be brave, yeah, because, and be cool. Someone told me when I was younger, I was hanging around with a lot of older guys. One of them who had been in the music industry a lot, the son of Liz Mitchell from Boney M, Twan, shout out Twan, literally basically brought me up as well as my parents, but he helped me a lot from the age of 15 onwards. He told me to be cool is to not care what anybody thinks. And if you ask the coolest, what you think the coolest people on the planet are, is the person who walks into a room and looks like they don't care, or like they don't care. I think you're really cool. I'm not even blowing smoke because you're my close friend. Cam will turn up to a gig in pajama bottoms and a vest, and it just works. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Just because swagger.
Because you don't care, it works.
Of course.
If you walk in there like, oh, I'm doing this to try and be cool, it's like, and I'm somebody who's taken a while to find and feel cool, since to really believe it, and now I'm cool as bloody fucking fuck.
I'm only messing,
but it takes a long time. But you can just to be cool and to be brave.
Yeah.
And by cool, I don't mean industry cool. I mean to yourself cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be comfortable.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
I'd say as much as you can try and like you have to when making something you have to take ego out of the equation.
100%.
Like yeah. You can't do something to make yourself look good. You have to do it because it is good. And they're two separate things. And that's not even like, even in a good way, that isn't just saying like, don't think something is good just because you made it. There's also the point of view of like, don't think something's bad just because you made it and you're in a bit of a funk. Like being able to take yourself up out of the situation, and then if it is good, be able to say like, I rate this idea, because you're rating the idea, you're not rating you. And they're kind of two different things. So to be able to separate your creation and your art from your feelings about it as the creator is really important.
Excellent stuff. Now thank you very much, Cameron, for coming in. Yeah, your song is amazing. He's got loads of stuff coming out. You can follow Cameron Bloomfield on Instagram. All his stuff's going to be on there. It's Cam Bloomfield on Instagram.
That's the one.
Amazing tracks, amazing guy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
And I hope that you come in again soon.
I will.
And we're going to play another track now. It's called All of Us. It's by PNAU featuring Ollie Gabriel.
No.
And then next we've got Kevin Adams, who is a entertainment veteran. And he's going to be coming in here.
It's true.
He's going to be coming in here and he's got so many good stories.
He's such a
dude. So we're going to play a song and then we'll be back with Kevin. Thank you very much, Cameron.
I love you.
Swimming the dash, and I can't stay alive. I can't dance tonight. If I can't lose my mind, and we've got strands of time, then I can't stay alive. Yeah. If the sharks stop swimming the dash, and I can't stay alive. I can't dance tonight. If I can't lose my mind, and we've got strands of time, then I can't stay alive. Gotta move on in, feel your body's here. Let my arms extend, feel the warmest skin. Gotta move on in, feel your body's here. Let my arms extend, feel the warmest skin. Can't stay alive. Do you really wanna work on this? Hey, really don't
Takeover with Sam Bird on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, 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 we are back. FUBAR Radio, Tuesday Takeover by yours truly, Sam Bird. That was All of Us by PNAU. What a banger that was.
That was banging, man.
That was a good tune, wasn't it? And this time, we're joined by our last guest, Save the Best Till Last.
Yes!
It's the one and only Kevin Adams.
Yeah!
The crowd goes wild.
Yes, yes. Kevin Adams. You can follow him on Instagram at Kevin Adams Official. It's popping over there.
Oh, you better know it. Especially
you better know it. So make sure you give Kevin a follow. Now, I'm going to introduce Kevin a little bit and then he can talk about himself because he likes to do that. So, people will probably recognise the name Kevin Adams, and if you watch the video of this, it's Kevin Adams from the one and only Fame Academy.
Yes.
Which was actually, I was young at the time, I'm only 26 now, but I did watch it with my parents.
I think everybody
did. Yeah, I think everybody, it was kind of like...
This is before Netflix, this is before online, so I think everybody watched it, man. Everybody watched it.
Everybody watched it.
Before colour TV. How far are you going back, Sammy? And I thought I liked you. Don't bother to touch me, man.
Before cars. No one had anything to do. No one could go.
But I'm saying now, I don't really watch, like, with the five channels.
Wow.
You get me? Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I'm going to be honest. Sorry, Kevin.
Not
it's very
really
true.
Liking the vibe in this room. I'm not going to lie.
No.
No,
let's bring up.
It's all love it. The thing is, me and Kevin are kind of a bit like husband and wife because we actually live together.
We don't talk, but we live together.
We live together. So actually, we actually have this relationship, which you'll probably realise.
Wait. We live in the same house. We share a house. We don't live together because you're implying that there's a togetherness.
We don't share a bed, no. I have my
you
room,
have different
you have
rooms.
We don't share a bathroom.
No, we don't. I don't see you, really.
There you go.
Which I thought, maybe I should have a catch-up by inviting you into the studio today.
Yeah, finally, because he
he's
going to
come in and go,
time.
You didn't wash up that cup.
Yeah.
That could cross my mind. I've got a few pictures to show you a bit later, don't know.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, yeah, like Fame Academy, like we just said, it was like one of the biggest shows at its time, and it literally projected your life into something massive, and you've done so much since then. Like, what was Fame Academy like? What's the experience like?
Fame Academy was absolutely amazing. They told me I was going to be on a show that was going to change my life. And, you know, before that I was a dancer. When people tell you stories, you never, ever believe them because you always think, don't be so silly. It's never going to change my life.
Yeah.
But it was a pivotal point in my life because I'd stopped dancing, was kind of like easing off the choreography, and I wanted to find a different path. And then Fame Academy came along and enabled me to be a dad at home with my children. And that was it was just absolutely perfect. I always describe Fame Academy as the development of an artist. We put them into a studio, taught them how to produce songs. We put them with writers so they could write songs. And we put them with me, a performance coach, a vocal coach, so they could be the full package and make the most amount of money. I think there are other shows around at the time and since then that have been about exploiting talent, and that for me is not
very
the way
true.
Forward. You don't put an artist and have everything done for them and give them a fee of probably nothing per week. Let these people be artists. Let teach them how to be artists. And that's what kind of like, there's no other show like Fame Academy. There's no other show out there like Fame Academy.
No, like you did actually create pop stars.
Yeah. Yes. It's really interesting you saying that, actually, because we've just had Cameron Bloomfield on the show, and we've been talking about the whole process of being a songwriter and what it takes to be a star and how difficult it can be. So it's interesting that to get back on that topic. But since then, what have you been up to, man?
Since then, I had two children, I got divorced, then was single for a while, and then I started doing a bit of presenting. That's my personal life, by the way, that I just thought I'd share with you.
Just bring that in.
You didn't mean that?
Yeah, I meant all of it, man. Let's dig deep.
No. Okay, so I've been working at Sky for a few years as a guest correspondent and doing a bit of journalism there. I work as a nutritionist as well, did a degree, did some nutrition. I think it's all about the fulfillment of self, and I wanted other things to do. So the presenting side is something that I do. I present the show for the BBC. I have done for the last 5 years. I do the stuff at Sky. I also guest at other places teaching ballet. I work with the Royal Ballet Company. I work with the Royal Ballet School. I've done a lot of stuff in the past, but I wanted more. So I did a degree in human nutrition. Then I did a degree in a master's in strength and conditioning.
That's amazing, man.
I'm writing my dissertation in the kitchen as we speak.
Oh, wow.
He knows his stuff.
That's amazing.
And you have been a celebrity personal trainer as well.
I have.
You've worked with like some major celebrities. Like one of them, Robbie Williams.
Yes.
What's he like to work with?
Good, hard worker, absolutely hard worker. It's one of those things you can't, like, you get with a client, and I always think to myself, I've got to know the client, and I've got, they've got to want to do what I'm trying to get them to do, so to achieve a goal. So that's why I always have to meet a client first. I don't just accept the person, no matter how much they offer me.
Really?
I know.
Okay, so you have to, like, you have to feel the vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, because it's so, it's hard work for me to drag your goal out of you.
Unless
as a person.
You really, yeah.
So if we're not working on the same page, then why would I bother? I wouldn't bother. So with Robbie, he really was goal orientated, and it was great. We were out in LA, what's not to like, and it was just goal driven, and we achieved a goal. So yeah, I'm still in contact with him. I saw him last year at the X Factor. He invited me down to go and watch him on the X Factor.
I was there.
That's good. You were there.
I was there. That's so like, basically, me and Kevin have done so many like random events. Now, like I said, he didn't like it, but I called him an entertainment industry veteran. But I'm so new into going to these events, and like I've mentioned before, probably that the 50th time, but I went to the Brit after party.
No, wait, Kevin, we've established that the reason why that me and Sam know each other is because you forced him to go to the Brits.
Exactly.
And that's where we met.
Thank you.
So I've got to say thank you to you.
Exactly.
I don't know this.
And you've got a great friendship from that.
Exactly. And it's just amazing.
And it's brilliant.
So, and like you said, you've been to all these events and these red carpets, and you've really been through it. It's like, it's very new to me, and I've, like I said, when I was in the room with, you know, Pink and Dua Lipa and stuff like that, I just, it was like really weird. It's like, I don't really feel like I belong here. It's Johnny. It's very like daunting and stuff like that.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, no, it really
same
is.
To me. That was my first bits after party too, man. But Kevin's walking around the room and he knows everybody.
He
knows everybody.
He knows the guy. He knew, was it the stylists? Because it was Jack Whitehall who was hosting, and he knew it was his stylist. Kevin walked straight in. Not a problem.
Casual. Do you know what it is? I danced at the Brits when I was a kid. I choreographed at the Brits after that. And then so you kind of like build up a base. And I'm kind of like nice to everyone. You don't know who is going to be who. I remember there was someone that was working at the BBC that was a runner when I first started. And now, I'm not going to tell you who she is, but she's really high up at ITV.
Okay,
and one of these people you have to be nice to. But she remembers that I was nice to her when she was a runner. And he's really nice to me, and that's how I'm able to just facilitate and gravitate my way around what is now a difficult place to work.
That's interesting as well, because just before you came on again, we were talking about how some sides of the industry, e.g. the influencer side, can be kind of, there can be some events that are kind of fake, and you might meet some people that are, but in the music industry, Sam's felt more welcome. But with you especially, Kevin, the first door, I don't know, it was a fashion show or something, one of the things that you brought me to, met you, and I said to you, you've got such a big energy, you're so kind, you've got such a big thing, but sometimes you can straight away shut off, and I asked you why, and this actually really stayed with me. You said that, like, once you've been in this industry for so long, like you've just said, to be kind to everyone is natural, but also to protect your energy. So if you could, like, expand on that, because I think I learned so much from that. I would like the listeners to know that sometimes I give my all a lot and I get hurt a lot, and now I'm learning how to not do that just as much, if you know what I mean.
It's a bit of a process, actually, because you start to meet people and you kind of learn, you have that inner gauge that just tells you, okay, this person's going to just zap me of my energy. As much as I want to encourage people and be positive for them, if all they're doing is taking, I've got no when to close the door. So when I make a general sweeping generalization, I don't care what anyone says, it's how I protect myself, that when I meet you, I gauge you, and then I'm like, okay, I've given you enough energy because you're a drainer. There are people out there that are drainers through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Because people get to a place having been through something. I don't want to know your journey. I don't want to know why you feel a need to drain me. I want you to go and drain someone else, because I don't want to be drained.
I need to be light right now, not dark.
Yes,
I got you. And yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that, because that was actually quite a changing moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin and Adam has, you know, been involved in a lot of people's lives, and he has changed people's lives. And one of the things that you've been in is the recent documentary about Jay Goody. And it's something that I watched quite recently, and it was very interesting. And I want to talk about after the next song, just about how going into an industry, because I was on Love Island, that I've mentioned before, but I was very much guided into kind of like my journey. I got an agent, and Kevin, I'd love to kind of hear about like kind of how it was for her and the struggle she went through, and how you were there and how you helped her. So we're going to be back with Kevin Adams after This Is Real by Jax Jones featuring Ella Henderson.
Oh,
Tuesday Takeover with me, Sam Bird. That was Jax Jones, This Is Real, featuring Ella Henderson. And we're back with the one and only Kevin Adams.
Yes!
Kevin Adams official on Instagram.
Beating myself up.
What's up, Kev?
What's up, Kev? Okay, so we just brushed on that earlier before we played that great song. And it was just talking about how I'd just seen the Jade Goody documentary and I found it so interesting. And I've been a person that's been on a reality TV show and I've come out and it's been, you know, I've come up with followers and it's been a bit crazy, but I got an agent so quickly and I was guided and I have to admit, I was quite lucky and I was quite blessed on how people looked after me.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I've had the support I needed.
Yeah.
Now, Jade Goody, if you don't know, she was basically the biggest reality TV star and was on Big Brother, which was the biggest show at the time
yeah.
in terms of, you know, reality and putting someone in a house, and massive star, came out and basically was the first big reality TV star, I think, to make millions.
She made a lot of money.
Of money. So yeah, Kevin, you were involved in Jade Goody's quite a lot because you were her personal trainer.
I was. She left the Big Brother house in 2002, went into hiding, and I went and met her in hiding because we both had the same agent at the same time.
Oh, I was going to ask how you knew each other. Yeah.
So I went into hiding, met her. We kind of like, we got on. I'd watched a journey through the show, and with Jade, you kind of like, you got to know her, all about her. And I did. I ended up really liking her, met her, we got on really well. And so I started to train her, and that's how it all got started. But like you say, you had an agent to help you. But still with an agent, you still have to find a career path because with reality TV, there's only so many personal appearances you can do. So you have to have something else to give. Otherwise, you hit that no man's land and you don't know what you're going to do. With Jade and with girls, it's a tad easier. Her weight fluctuated. She'd put weight on, she'd lose weight. If you asked her what her career path was, she would say, I don't really know. I kind of like beauty, so I started a beauty salon. And that didn't work out. And then I kind of like something else. And I started that. So it was just, luckily for her, she took risks. Some of them didn't always pay off. But then some of them paid off really, I mean, massively. But she had ups and downs. And I mean, I was there from the day she left in 2002 until her last breath. So kind of like I ran the whole gamut with her.
Shit, man.
And it was just at the time, which is very interesting. And obviously, it's different now. There's so many reality TV stars. Like I said, she was kind of the first one.
Big one, yeah.
And the money was all different then, which I found really interesting. We didn't have Instagram. If you wanted to see your favourite celebrity, you would have to open a magazine and look at pictures of them.
Yeah.
So
everyone would buy the magazine.
And everyone would buy the magazine. And there was big deals back then, wasn't there?
There was.
There was big deals. And I remember watching the documentary, and we're talking, I think that Jade potentially got a deal of £250,000 for like an OK spread. Is that the sort of money they were talking?
But yeah, that's ridiculous. It wasn't that much. It was a lot of money.
Yeah,
I know exactly how much it was. It was a lot of money. It wasn't that big, but towards the end, when she was actually ill and was terminally ill with cancer, the money for things like her wedding was big money. But remembering that Jade Goody had an option, she was misdiagnosed by the NHS 3 times. Jeez. So everyone advised her, solicitors advised her, an agent at the time advised her that she should sue the NHS. And she was like, no, if I sue the NHS, it's going to take money from my children. So I don't want to take money from my children. So I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to make money. I couldn't respect her more. Even up to her last breath, while she was still functioning, was thinking, okay, what can I do now? There was a Piers Morgan, I never told anyone this, there was a Piers Morgan interview that was supposed to happen. She was supposed to go to the studio, but she was so fragile, so frail. And so Piers had agreed to come to Jade's house. And Jade wanted that fee. She was in tremendous pain. It was being slightly numbed by morphine, but still she was in so much pain. And they got to the day before, and she just literally couldn't do it. And I think she cried then, because she felt that she'd failed, because that was another big chunk of money that would have gone to her children. Regardless of anything, it was her own, no matter what I said, and I'd always find something to say, but no matter what I said, she was like, I could have done this interview and facilitated more money for my children, for their life, for their future life, and it just didn't work out. But it just goes to show that the length that she was willing to go to avoid going to the NHS and saying, you have to give me this amount of millions because of what you've done to me.
She sounds like an angel, man.
The work ethic is in that, like, to be in that. Because it makes me, like, when I've done come up the show and I'm, like, complaining about going to a few PAs because I'm tired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nothing compared to that. And you're right, like, I guess she didn't know how long, like, even, you know, before, like, she didn't know what her job was. She just knew people were giving her money. And I said, I think there's another thing with some of like the reality stars at the moment. They're given a lot of money, but I just feel like they're really like kind of taking it for granted. They think they're the next big thing, and they haven't like really, like, they don't know what they want to do as a career. They just know, like, you know, post on Instagram, which we said earlier when we talked about the Fyre Festival song and how like people are influenced by you pay an influencer some money and they want to put out a product.
Yeah.
They don't know what the product is, and their followers are actually buying it. And it's just like, it's kind of a crazy, crazy world we live in now. It's like these millennials, if our grandparents realised that we are taking a photo
and getting
paid and putting it on Instagram, they would be happy.
Yeah, no,
they would not. Man. They would not be happy.
Also, you get paid the big money, but then do people talk you through how to pay tax? Do people talk you through at the end of the year? You've got tax bill, you've got VAT to pay. It's all well and good, and it's so hard because I'm self-employed too. When someone gives you £5,000, you think you've got £5,000 to spend,
but in
reality, you've got to pay 40% VAT.
Yeah.
You've got to pay an agent 20% on the gross fee. You've got to pay the agent's VAT on the gross fee.
You don't realise.
So it comes down, but you've already spent the whole lot of the money.
That's what happened to me. I got my publishing deal and I didn't really know how to spend it. No one advised me, and I spent it too much of it before knowing what to do.
Yeah. So many pitfalls, and it's so difficult, you know, because as an agent, do you come in all guns blazing and say, you need to get a manager, you need to get like a financial advisor, do you do that? And I just think an onus has to be on someone to kind of like help and guide people.
Yeah, I agree. In the whole entertainment industry, the music industry, even with influencers, with all the things, that's why there's a lot of, like we were talking to Dr. Alex, in this side of the world, there's a lot of mental health issues. I think that's probably because of things like this. They're not being accessed for musicians or people in this. People look at them as if they know their life's perfect, they know everything that's going on, when actually a lot of people that I've met in this industry, as you have, or you have, I'm probably more lost than someone who's got a stable 9-to-5. Even though they might look like their life's perfect, or they've got money, or they're travelling a lot, they might be mentally unstable because they actually don't know where they're going next or what to do with their money, or etc.
But I agree with Dr. Alex, there are, you might find a higher number, but because the population of people that are celebrities from reality or from any chosen field are lesser. So yes, to a lesser number, and the guidance is to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I mean, I don't necessarily feel sorry for anyone that's able to facilitate making thousands of pounds per week.
Of course.
That's great.
Yeah, amazing.
It's absolutely great. Should there be other things along the line that help that person? Yes, but you have to think. You can't go to every single person on a reality show and then guide them through their whole career, because that's not the point of the reality show.
It's
not the point of a reality show. You don't go to work in Sainsbury's and then someone guides you through every aspect of your life. They don't guide you through how to pay your VAT. They don't guide you through how to get a mortgage.
You're right.
They don't guide
you through. You're right.
So we're putting the onus on television companies when really it doesn't matter. Sainsbury's, a reality show,
or just starting your own business.
There's so many different things. I don't know whether there needs to be, I don't know, more things online for some, you know, specific like jobs, because it's a little bit different. Like the only difference is, I was very shocked about, like, I got more money than I was used to, like straight away. So it was a bit of confusion, and it was like, oh, I don't really get it now. Luckily, I had people around me, and they supported me, and that they kind of took me through it, and then they took me through the industry, and they showed me the way. One of those people was obviously Kevin Adams, because I actually met Kevin. We'll tell people actually how we met, actually. So it was at a party. It was Samira, who was a Love Island contestant as well.
Yeah.
She was friends with Kevin, and she had a birthday party. And, you know, I like a party.
And
Kevin likes
Sam
a party
likes
as well.
Party.
Kevin likes a party.
Likes the party.
So we're at the party, and it's like, we're dancing and we're in Mahiki and we're having a good time. And then I think we then, like, Kevin's like, oh, do you want to go to the X Factor like next week? I was like, yeah, we'll go, yeah. And then he kind of like started to kind of take me under like his wing, in terms of like, you need to go start networking more. Because Kevin is like one of the biggest networks ever.
Yeah,
he networks like hard, and it's basically like paved his career to success. And I think it's like something that I didn't really get from my agent straight away. He hadn't been in the industry, but like, because you've been in so much, you'd give me so much advice, and it was really, really good. So I appreciate that, and I will make sure I do the washing up when I
just load the dishwasher. There's no washing up, just load the dishwasher.
It's not that hard, Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand.
So Kevin, obviously we know what you're doing now. You're a presenter, and you do stuff for Sky News, BBC. You do
BBC.
Some stuff there. What you got going on?
Oh, I've got a children's show called Got What It Takes. We're in our fifth season right now. We take 8 children and we give them a singing competition, and they win a chance to perform at the big weekend. It's an amazing prize the main stage. It's an amazing prize. But during that, there's a mum's challenge. So I take the mums off to army assault calls. I take them to Thorpe Park. We ride on the rides, and they have to recite songs from a list that I've given them. So the mums play a part, and it's filmed over the summer. It's such a great show.
I need to watch that.
Amazing,
that sounds
prize.
Amazing. I didn't know you did that. That sounds really cool.
We've had some really great people in as well to work on the show, to be mentors to them as well, because it's a lot of pitfalls as a child. So we have like YouTubers come in, we have like singing stars come in. We've had some really good people. So yeah, great show.
Wicked.
And you also are an amazing choreographer, and you've got the Kevin Adams Academy.
Kevin Adams Academy.
Yeah.
there is no better. Harlow Essex, man. I'm telling you right now. Don't laugh in there, girl. It's the best place. There's no other place. The Kevin Adams Academy. Where else would you be? From the age of 3 to 18, we do street dance, singing, drama, and a little ballet and a little tap as well. So we throw it all in to give people a taste of what their life could be if they wanted to be in West End musicals or backing dancers on, say, tour with Little Mix.
Exactly, and that's the thing. It. So if you are listening and you've got if a you son, want to be a daughter, star. If you want to be a star, make sure you go over to Kevin Adams Official. He posts about the Kevin Adams Academy on there. Make sure you give him a follow. And I just want to say thanks for coming in.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man! It's been amazing.
It's been good. It's been real.
It's been real good. High fives all around.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, make sure you give Kevin Adams a follow. Thanks for coming in. And we're going to play another track now before me and Sammy wrap things up. I know you don't want us to go, but we do have to eventually.
Oh, man.
I know. So this is You Got Me by Next Habit.
Nice.
The Tuesday Takeover with Sam Bird.
Sing it one more time.
And also my co-host, who's been great, Sammy Switch. He's got a lot of interesting stories, a lot of things to say.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank you.
I want you to kind of be my last guest because we've been talking about this song for the last 2 hours, and we're going to play the show out with it because it is an absolute banger.
Thanks a million.
So, yeah, like basically you've been talking about how it is about your life and how you have been kind of, you know, had your ups and downs, you've partied and you're living life in the fast lane.
That's it, man. I've had a very tumultuous last few years.
Good word.
I hope that it makes sense because I'm not even sure if it is a word, but I've had a very turbulent few years, and it is basically a song. The truth is that my girlfriend and friends and everyone thinks that I'm great, that sometimes my lifestyle is a bit wild, as do yours, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're continuously doing shows, you're continuously on the road, you're continuously doing... it's just non-stop. It's non-stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lot of socialising and a lot of drinking sometimes, etc. So it's basically a song about...
Where's, like, the craziest place you've ever slept?
Just on a random bench, man. Between Portsmouth and Guildford.
Oh, I know that bench.
Yeah.
I know that one.
I got kicked off a train once when I was living out of a bag, and it was the last train because I didn't have a ticket. And I slept on a bench and I got the first train.
That's mad. Was it cold?
Reasonably. But
you don't have a blanket or anything?
No, I didn't, no.
Do you have the t-shirt on the head? Keep the braids in.
Yeah. I didn't have braids then. I probably slept in the crazier place. I'm trying to think now.
You must have like many of a music studio. You must have slept on the floor of a music studio.
I've slept on many a floor.
Many a floor and many a couch.
That's it, definitely.
Because you make music so late. I remember, like, I used to text you. Well, I still do. Yeah. But you're like, oh, what are you saying? And you're like, oh, I'm just sleeping like on a music studio floor. I've been making music since like into the early hours of the morning.
I don't stop until it's done. On that note,
we're done.
We're done.
I've had a great time.
I have too, man. I love this. Thank you, Fubar. Thank you, Sam, for having me.
It's been amazing. You've been a great co-host. And we are going to finish the show with the Sammy Switch with his new song, which isn't out yet. So this is an exclusive.
Yeah.
The song is called Icarus.
I'm believing Hennessy, trying to block out bad energy. Akira said more power brings more enemies. But what I do with power, and what do I need enemies for? This new world don't pay no rent to read. My best friend said I'm changing. Too many times to answer phone, the plans I'm rearranging. I'm busy with vibrations, my phone with no vibrator. Get high cause I have so many floors, my view skyscraper. Art comes from the knife, that's what the edge is for. Fight the darkness, find the answers, then I question more. I said don't you worry, why you stressing? You knew this was the journey I was destined for. But and then I heard you say I'm acting different. You say I'm getting high just like I'm Icarus. I can touch the sun.
I can touch the sun.
Yeah, I can touch the sun.
Yeah, I can touch the sun.
Yeah. And now I see you praying for my innocence. I know your love is infinite. See, there's no coincidence. I don't fuck up. With rhymes, man, my pen is illin. Medicine, adrenaline is anything to stimulate my mind. You say I'm hedonistic, now you're worried. Cause there's money in my bank, whether it rains or when it's sunny. I got trouble with this drink. I know you always love me, now there's respect. Love that when I've got money or when I'm broke, my mates keep me in check. But checkmate, now I'm winning and I've still got my queen. I'm not a rookie, I fought knights for 2 weeks. I couldn't see the summer. Art comes from the knife, that's what the edge is for. Fight the darkness, find the answers, then I question more. So don't you worry, why you stressing? You knew this was the journey I was destined for. But then I heard you say I'm acting different. You say I'm getting high just like I'm Icarus. I can touch the sun.
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 And now I see you praying for my innocence. I know your love is infinite. You see, there's no coincidence. I don't fuck up.
I don't fuck up. I know it's different. Please don't feel distance. Our love's still infinite. I know that my ambition's changing everything. But I'm still here and I'm still listening.
And then I heard you say I'm acting different. You say I'm getting high just like I'm Icarus. I can touch the sun.
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 And now I see you praying for my innocence. I know your love is infinite. Yeah. See, there's no coincidence. Yeah. I don't walk, I run.
I don't walk, I run now.
I can touch the sun.
I can touch the sun.
I won't get a change.
The way I'm living, I know it's different.
I know it's different.
Please don't feel distant. I love still infinite. Different. Please don't feel distant. Our love's still infinite. I
I know that my... You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.